Counsel, good morning. This is the case of Mixon versus Sasne. Please, while you are arguing, or while you are not arguing, keep your face masks on. When you approach the podium to argue, please take your mask off so that we can hear and understand you. We've had some technical difficulties today, so make sure you speak up, because as I understand it, the real microphone is down here with the blue lights on. As you can see, five members of the court are here in the courtroom. Two members of the court are participating by WebEx. That is Justice Miller-Lerman and Justice Funk. But they will be participating just as if they were here. They cannot see us, but you can see them and they can hear you. With that in mind, does anybody have any questions?
Mr. Chief Justice, we can actually see the attorneys as well, so we can see their podium.
You just can't see the bench?
You can't see the bench.
There you go. I stand corrected. The Justices Miller-Lerman and Funk can see you, so they will participate fully. With that, Ms. McDowell, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
Morning. May it please the court, my name is Megan McDowell, and I represent the appellant, Mr. Benjamin Mixon, in this matter. The facts of this case are fairly simple, and there aren't any facts that are in dispute, which kind of makes it an interesting case to argue. The facts of this case are as follows. Mr. Mixon and Ms. Stastny, the appellee, had two children together, one in 2010 and one in 2012. After the birth of each of their children, they executed notarized acknowledgments of paternity that were filed with vital records and that were not rescinded within that 60-day period. In 2019, Mr. Mixon brought an action to seek custody, parenting time, and support orders regarding those children. The lower court erred by dismissing.
Up until that time, there had been no judicial proceedings whatsoever.
Correct. In the lower court dismissed Mr. Mixon's request for custody orders based on the 4-year statute of limitations that is present when a party is seeking an initial paternity determination. We're asking this court to reverse that finding because the 4-year statute of limitations should not apply when paternity has already been established as to children. This court has held consistently since Caesar C. versus Alicia L. years ago that there's nothing else that a parent needs to do after a paternity acknowledgement has been filed, is unchallenged, and unrescinded. Mr. Mixon did not need to seek additional judicial determinations regarding his paternity because paternity was already established. Just like in Caesar C., this court should instruct the lower court that the matter should proceed as one regarding custody, parenting time, and support because of the fact that paternity has already been established.
I beg your pardon. Do you believe the court had a misunderstanding of the significance of the acknowledgement?
I do. I don't believe that the acknowledgments of paternity were given their proper legal effect.
Would that have been an error of law by the trial court?
I believe so.
Thank you.
The lower court, as I was just asked about, did not give the proper legal effect to those notarized acknowledgments of paternity. There's no statute that requires a parent to seek custody within a certain amount of time after paternity has been established. And yet what the court has done is read that into a statute that doesn't have anything to do with custody and parenting time, but rather initial determinations of paternity. This court went through an analysis in the Jalen B. case where they actually, discussed the separate designations for a father. Mr. Mixon was treated as an alleged father, seeking to determine paternity, seeking to have a paternity determination set forth so he could then move forward. But Mr. Mixon was already the legally established, acknowledged father. He's an acknowledged father that is able to bring his paternity acknowledgments to the court. He should have been able to essentially register those with the court, have them recognized so he could then move forward.
What statute are you relying on that authorizes him to bring the action that he attempted before?
There's not a separate statute for a custody action. However, this court has held that the issues of custody, parenting time, and support are intrinsically linked with that of paternity. Once paternity has been established, then a parent is able to seek a custody order in conjunction with that paternity establishment.
Well, I understand that's your argument, mm-hmm. but does that argument have a statutory source that we can see in the text of one or more statutes, or are you reading between the lines?
I would say it's a combination of the cases that this court has put out, and I don't know of a specific statute to point you to for that, as far as him being able to file this specific action. Since they were...
Do you think his cause of action exists independently of statute?
Yes.
And what's your best authority for that proposition?
I would say the best authority is the case law that has come out of this very court.
We've never addressed this exact situation, though, have we?
No, you're not.
Whenever we've had a custody with respect to children born out of wedlock, it's been in relation to a paternity having been established either at the same time or previously.
Correct. I would say that the closest that this court has gotten to considering that issue would actually be a case that came out following the time that all the briefs were filed in this case. This summer, there was the Tyler P. case that came out and was talking about the effects of a paternity acknowledgement. And again, the court instructed the lower court that once paternity acknowledgements are deemed to have been signed and filed, that at that point it should be treated as an action for custody. The difference in that case is that child actually was over the age of four. This court didn't get into an analysis, because I don't believe it was brought up in the lower court as far as statute of limitations. However, this court has considered it in the Manker case, where there was a judicial admission that was made, and then that precluded the father in that action from being able to raise the statute of limitations defense.
So your understanding of the trial court's decision was that it was based on the statute of limitations and not the non-existence of the cause of action.
Correct.
And that in your mind makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yes.
Would you like to enlarge on why you think that's so?
I think that there's a lot of far-reaching consequences if parents' paternity acknowledgments are not given a proper legal effect, and if that statute of limitations is applied when paternity has already been established, it creates inconsistency, and I think it violates the public policy that is behind not only the statute of limitations, but the purpose of the paternity acknowledgement itself on a state and federal level.
Is it that constitutional liberty?
I believe it does. I think that it's important that there is recognition of those legal parenting rights. As soon as the paternity acknowledgments were signed and they went through that rescission period and they were unrescinded, Mr. Mixon has a legal right as a father. By allowing a mother or one of the parents to bring forward statute of limitations defense, they're able to then attack and attempt to deprive that parent of their legal rights as a parent. If there are no more questions, I would like to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chapin, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court. My name is Bill Chapin. I'm representing Gary Stansky in this matter. Our position is probably clear. The 43-1411 sets forth a 4-year statute of limitations in paternity actions. I am unaware of any separate causes of actions for custody or child support or alimony or spousal support or division of property that is separate from either being tied to a divorce, legal separation, or paternity. Obviously, division of property doesn't apply to paternity. But what's happening, I think, in this particular case is that I think the appellant is trying to indicate that acknowledgement has been established, or paternity has been established through the acknowledgement. There's no question about that. I think in her brief, she mentioned that we said on numerous occasions that this is the father. We're not contesting that this is the father. Unlike the Manker case, I think in Manker, the part of the problem with the Manker case is that the father in that particular case, if I remember the facts correctly, they filed divorce, didn't tell the wife that they filed a divorce, they continued to live together, had another child. So in the Manker case, you have some concealment of fact, you also have some fraud and concealment, which the court didn't address in the Manker case, but I think also justifies the extension of the statute of limitations.
Counsel, yes. what's the legal effect of the acknowledgement of paternity in this case?
Well, I think the legal effect is that it makes Mr. Maxson the father of these two children.
So if he's the father of the children, does he have any rights in regard to the children?
Sure, he has the right to inherit. He has the right to, has the right to inherit. He has the right to go to school activities. He has the right to probably find out about their health situation. You would have the right to custody if you brought a paternity action within 4 years as required by the Nebraska statutes.
Does he have any responsibilities by virtue of the acknowledgement?
Not that I'm aware of.
Does he have any responsibilities prior to a judicial statement of paternity?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, the acknowledgement of paternity establishes that he's the father. It doesn't establish that he's then liable for child support. It doesn't rely on acknowledgement of paternity and the lapse of the 60 days that clearly locks that in as him being the father. Doesn't suddenly make him responsible for shoes, clothing, extracurricular activities?
I beg your pardon, under 43-1402, perhaps I've got this wrong, there's a reference to paternity established by judicial proceedings or by acknowledgement. So does that statute indicate that paternity may be established by acknowledgement and that judicial proceeding may be an unnecessary declaration of paternity?
Well, I think there's three things actually going on. First of all, you can have a judicial acknowledgement of paternity where the person says, I'm not the father. Someone brings a suit, they do the testing, they find out that he is or isn't the father, and the case moves forward. Then you have number two, which is the acknowledgement where the parties sign off on an acknowledgement, which under Nebraska law establishes the parentage of the children. But I think you also have what's known as a paternity proceeding, which requires a parent to bring a suit in time to establish custody and child support issues.
Doesn't the statute that Justice Miller-Lerman was quoting from go on to say that by either of those methods, the parent or the father of the child so established shall be liable for its support to the same extent and in the same manner as the father of the child born in lawful wedlock? Consequently, doesn't that when someone signs one of those acknowledgments, aren't they independently liable to support the child, irregardless of whether a paternity action is brought?
Well, I don't actually have the statute memorized. So
assume that I quoted it.
I am assuming that you quoted it correctly, read it correctly. And the way it was read and the way I would interpret it is, yes, I think every father has a responsibility to his child. I think every parent has a responsibility to his child.
So, but if it follows that the father has the obligation to support the child, doesn't it also follow that the father has the potential right to custody of that child?
He does have the potential right to custody. But the problem becomes 1411, which establishes a 4-year statute of limitations to bring those rights.
Doesn't it focus on bringing a civil proceeding to establish paternity? Isn't that the very opening phrase of 43-1411? And if we're talking about a case where paternity has already been established with acknowledgement, why do we need to worry?
Well, because I think the problem here is that you have one, I think 1411 is talking about judicial proceedings to establish paternity. If paternity is already established, that issue should be a no-brainer, right?
Is that the case we have before us?
That is the case we have.
Is this a no-brainer in favor of the appellant then?
No, it's a no-brainer in terms of that Mr. Maxson's the father. That's one issue in the paternity suit. You don't have the other issue in the paternity suit of custody, child support, parenting time, financial plans, all those other things that the Parenting Act talks about are still left open. Those are part of that paternity proceeding, which needs to be brought within 4 years. The problem is, if you don't bring it within 4 years, you're barred.
Were the parties residing together at the birth of the children?
Yes, I don't know. I don't think so. It might have been.
Did they reside together at any point in time after the birth of the children?
To be honest, I don't know. I know they're not residing together now, and they haven't resided for a long, long time.
As a hypothetical, if parents had children, mm-hmm. and they resided together as a family unit, even though they were unwed, mm-hmm. for 10 years,
sure.
and then separated went the other way, are you saying that even if they go into a paternity, the father would have no method to try to get custody or visitation with the child?
Well, I'm saying that's my interpretation of the Nebraska statutes. Okay. Because I'm saying that the Nebraska statutes don't allow for a separate action for cause of action for custody. And they don't allow for a separate cause of action of child support. That those two issues have to be tied either to the divorce, legal separation, or paternity action. The problem with living together and then extending this thing is it almost makes a quasi-common law marriage. Again, I don't have any position one way or the other on it. If this court wants to establish quasi-law common marriage, that's up to you guys. But I just don't think there's any statutory support. And I don't think that the common law, the quasi-common law marriage, would then lead to an authorized divorce action in the Nebraska statute. I still think you're then still bound by the paternity action. So maybe this is a matter that, unfortunately, the statute is correct. I think Judge Strong made the correct decision below. I think, it's just an issue of has the legislature adopted the law of times. Well, I'll just leave it at that. But I think that in this case, that there is a clear statute of limitations that sets down 4 years. And it's real clear that the 4-year statute, that the case was not brought within the 4 years.
This appeal really turns upon the characterization of an action seeking only custody as one seeking to determine paternity and custody. Isn't that where this really turns?
I'd like to take you're right. I think that's where exactly it turns. And I think the issue becomes you bring a paternity action within the 4 years. The paternity is already, like I said, there's several issues in the paternity action, issues in child support, custody, et cetera, et cetera. The paternity issue is already established by the acknowledgement. There's no question, and I think the case law that my earlier opponent has mentioned and everything clearly establishes that that's going to be an easy decision for the court to make. And the problem is if you bring it after 4 years, I don't know how the court proceeds on it because you didn't bring it in time. It's just like in my brief when I talked about a negligence. People can be negligent and they can be in a car accident and they can be found guilty of negligent driving. That doesn't mean you have now unlimited time to bring your negligence suit for physical damage.
So when does a right to bring a custody suit accrue? I mean, obviously your negligence example accrues when the accident occurred. But when you have a paternity that's acknowledged to be a paternity, it makes a little sense, and the parties are living together and share custody of the child, it would make a little sense to say that a cause of action to determine custody had accrued at that time, would it?
Well, if the parties are living together, which are not the facts in this case, but if the parties were living together, I can see where the court would say, well, that extends the period of statute of limitations under some sort of either concealment or some sort of theory that would extend any statute of limitations, discovery of the action or something, and that gets into a little tricky as well.
If they aren't living together, but they're sharing custody of the child, shouldn't that also extend the statute of limitations?
No, because I think the problem is if you're sharing custody, if you're not living together and you're sharing custody, then at that point you know that you should be bringing a custody action.
Even though you're getting along with the co-parent and nobody has any complaints about how the sharing is taking place, they need to still bring an action to have a judicial blessing of that?
Well, I think they do need to bring an action to have a judicial blessing, because if things change and they don't get along, then you have a statute of limitations problem, which is what statute of limitations is all about. If there was a separate custody cause of action, and I'm not promoting one, but if there were, we wouldn't be here. If there was a separate action that you can bring in court that says, I just want child support, we wouldn't be here.
So your argument isn't really the statute of limitations then. Your argument is that there's no, that the cause of action that the appellant brought doesn't exist. Is that right?
No, what I'm saying is the cause of action exists, but you have to bring that cause of action within 4 years, whether you like it or not. I mean, they weren't married, so you can't bring a divorce. Right?
You're saying it doesn't exist independently of a paternity determination.
Exactly. It doesn't exist independently of a determination.
So I think the right answer to Justice Papik's question should have been yes, but you can say what you want.
Well, then I'll say this.
referring to 43.1411, where it says 4 years, what does it say? 4 years to do what?
I believe to bring a judicial proceeding.
With what objective?
Well, to establish paternity, but obviously that's the catch. I mean, to establish paternity and to establish paternity and then to raise the custody and child support issues. Because they're not separate causes of action, how do you bring it?
Counsel, what impact does it have that this was brought as a paternity action and then an amended complaint was filed only as to establish custody and support? What impact does that have, if any?
Well, I don't think it has any, because there is no such thing as, there is no such thing, to my knowledge, in Nebraska as a custody action or a support action.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
2 minutes and 15 seconds. Ms. McDowell.
There were a couple of questions that were asked that I happen to have the information for, so I just want to provide that to the court. Particularly because Mr. Chapin did say that maybe it would be different if the parties lived together. The attorney acknowledgments were received as evidence by the court. At the time of the birth of each child, the parents were living together. I don't know exact date of when they separated, and it's not in the record because we didn't get an evidentiary hearing. None of that was able to be brought before the court. So there's no specifics as far as what parenting time was or wasn't occurring, what support was or wasn't being provided. The statute in question regarding that four-year statute of limitations is for establishment of paternity. It designates this is between a mother and an alleged father, and that's not what we have here. A statute cannot apply to somebody who's in a different class because of the fact that paternity was already established. So we're allowing paternity to be established for a period of 4 years, at which time it expires as far as the parent's right. It's essentially what the argument seems to be from the other side. And I don't believe that that was the intention of paternity acknowledgments as a whole. They are supposed to provide consistency and certainty for children. This is their parent forever. The argument also seems to be that for an acknowledged father, because he can't actually bring a paternity action in the same way because paternity is already established and there's no separate cause of action for a custody proceeding, that he actually has no ability to assert and bring forward his paternity acknowledgments to the court. The real problem is when parents are together until that child is 4 and a half. They have a paternity acknowledgement, they come to the court, the way that the appellee wants this read, they're already too late.
I think I asked you this question in the opening, but I want to be clear. You're not pointing us to any statute that establishes a custody cause of action under these circumstances?
No.
Okay.
We are asking the court to reverse the decision and allow Mr. Mixon to proceed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments then on Mixon versus Stastny. Counsel, you are now obviously free to go. Please social distance and keep your masks on if at all possible. And please leave by the side door of the court. Thank you very much.